Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew in chapter 11. Book of Matthew in chapter 11. This morning we'll be reading verses 25 through 30. And we'll be preaching from these verses this morning. However, in going over my notes, well, yesterday afternoon, again this morning, I don't think we'll get through all that's here. It's just too important a passage of Scripture for us to rush through it with the speed that we've been going through most of the rest of the book of Matthew. But let's begin reading this verse this morning with verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This 11th chapter is one whole discourse, beginning with Jesus testifying to two of John's disciples by way of demonstration who he was. And he continues on even after those two disciples of John had left and turns to the multitude and begins to show them who John was. And thus showing him who he was. Jesus Christ. The Messiah, the anointed of God. And he continues on with the thought that John presented him. I've presented myself to you. But this generation has rejected me. I'm told what they were like unto. They were like unto children. That is, John and Jesus were the children, and they had beckoned. John being the mourner and beckoned to them to come and mourn with him, and they would not. Jesus bringing glad tidings. And beckoning to them. They would not. And so then he turns to their cities, mentions three of the cities which he had done many of his mighty works in and had taught and preached in. And they had rejected the Messiah. They had rejected the Christ. And he tells them and lets us know that they had the gospel preached to them. They had witnessed the mighty works of God. And it will, their judgment will be greater judgment than those cities who had not heard. Tyre and Sidon, he said. Heathen cities, idolatrous cities who had never heard and witnessed the wonderful works of God. And yes, he names that one awfully ungodly city, that licentious city, Sodom. And he says it will be more tolerable for Sodom. And for them. So we come to verses 25 through 30, the portion of Scripture that we read this morning. And the first thing we want to note, there's two basic principles here. And the first one is thanks to the Father. Thanks to the Father in verses 25 and 26. At that time, Jesus answered and said, at that time, two things to distinguish here, at that time and answered. Who is questioning me? Who asked Jesus a question? That would be my thought by this language. But as we look at the word answered, it means to give an answer to a question. Yeah, that's the way I would understand it. But it also means to begin to speak, but always where something has preceded to which remarks refer. Which is the application here in this passage of Scripture. Jesus is not answering a question that anyone or any group of people asked him. He's simply making reply to what he had said before, previously. So, Jesus simply begins to speak, following upon his pronouncing that his works, his teaching and preaching, give witness to who he is. As well as to what he had said about this generation, a perverse generation, and pronouncing a more severe judgment upon them who had had the gospel preached to them and had the mighty works of God manifested in their sight. He begins to respond saying, I thank thee. So we have here a response of thanksgiving. In this thanksgiving, let us note, first of all, the titles given. The titles given to God. That is where all thanks is to be given, is to God. But notice the title. He said in verse 25, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Father, in the same manner which he taught his disciples to pray in chapter 6 in verse 9, teaching his disciples to pray, he said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father. our Father. And so Jesus had taught and had instructed His disciples, had taught you and I to pray in that manner, and now He Himself is praying in that manner. Oh, how blessed to be able to call Him our Father. Oh, what a relationship that speaks of. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. And the first chapter of the book of Colossians. And I want to read several verses here in this first chapter so you can, your hearts can be made to swell at the blessedness of calling Him Father. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, let that speak to you, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which He hath to all the saints, to all those who have faith in Christ Jesus. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, praise God, they didn't just hear it with a physical ear, but they heard it. They heard it with a spiritual ear. The truth. As it is in the gospel. You see? Which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Praise the Father for knowing the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Praise God for sending us faithful ministers who faithfully minister the truth of the Word of God, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Praise God for those who pray for us and pray for the blessings of God to abound upon us. See what blessings there are in that word, Father? He's my Father. And I can come to Him as a Father. And Jesus came to Him as a Father. Look at verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And we can do that. And we should be doing that. If He's our Father, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father That's where our thanks goes, folks. It goes unto the Father, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That we owe to the Father. Notice something else he did. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That is the work of the Father. That is the work of God. Praise God this morning. Praise the Father. See the blessings in that one word, Father, this morning? That's just some from the book of Colossians and the first chapter this morning. Well, he didn't only call him Father. Notice the second title. He said, Lord. Lord of heaven and earth. That word Lord here simply means he to whom a person or thing belongs. So he is Lord. Jesus said, of heaven and earth. It belongs to Him by virtue of what? It belongs to Him by virtue of creation. By virtue of creation, the heavens and the earth are His. But, by virtue of creation, He is Lord, He is Master. He's the Creator of heaven and earth. Genesis chapter 1. In verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created them. He's the Lord. He's the Master. They belong to Him. He has the right of say over them. Look at how Isaiah puts it to us in the book of Isaiah in chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42 and look at verse 5. Thus saith God, the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out. You see, He not only created the heavens, but He stretched them out. Oh, this great universe of the heavens. The vastness of it. He stretched them out. He says, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. He spread forth the earth and everything that comes out of the earth. He spread it forth. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein, He gives us life and breath. He gives us spirit. He gives us life and breath. That is all of His creation. They owe their life and their breath to Him. The population of this world at this present day and time, I don't know, 8 billion or 9 billion people at this present time, they all owe their life and breath to Him, Lord of heaven and earth. Whether they acknowledge that or not, but Jesus Christ, His Son, acknowledged the fact that the Father is Lord of heaven and earth. And so you and I ought to as well this morning. Well, in this thought, this constrains us to come to Him with reverence as the sovereign Lord of all. Reverence. Well, going back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. That is a term of reverence. Reverence to the Father. He's holy. We're to reverence Him. We're to stand in awe of Him. He's Lord of heaven and earth. Stand in awe of Him. Not only is His name hallowed, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He does His will in heaven and in earth. Because He's the Creator, He's the Lord, He's the Father, He's the head of it all. He's the sovereign. He's King of heaven and earth. We ought to praise Him for it. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We have a song. Well, I think it's called the Doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Turn with me. To Psalms 150. Psalms 150 really sums it up pretty good, I think. As all these latter Psalms, and many of the Psalms reference praise to God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him as Father, as Lord of heaven and earth, Creator, as the giver of life and breath. You all. This morning, we see the Lord Jesus Christ giving Him the praise, acknowledging Him as sovereign. Well, now notice the reason given for the thanksgiving. Why is Jesus offering this praise? It's specifically a praise to the Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, for something particular. What is He particularly praising Him for? Well, look at verse 25. Because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Jesus here is praising Him because He's hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and revealed them unto babes. These things. What things is He referencing? What things is He talking about? Well, what's the context? What had He been talking about? He'd been talking about the Messiah. Who is the Messiah? Jesus Christ. I, the Son of Man, am the Messiah. I am the Christ. He'd been talking about that. He'd given witness and testimony to that. He had rebuked that generation for their perverseness. He had pronounced a judgment upon them that was more severe than the judgment of those who had not heard. Why? Because they rejected Him. And they rejected the mighty works that He did. We're talking about the gospel this morning. These things. The Christ has come. And His mighty works give testimony to who He is. The fact
that He is Jesus, the Christ. He is the one whose these mighty works are.
Turn with me to the book of John. The book of John in chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 25. And Jesus here speaking and giving an answer to those people there that just, well, they were troublemakers. They wanted to stir up. They rejected Him. They didn't believe Him. It's made known in this verse. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. Well, it's pretty much the same thing we have in chapter 11. He told them, and they believed not. They rejected Him. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. My works that I do, my teaching, my preaching, and all the works that I do, they give testimony to the fact of who I am. Look at in verse 36. Say ye of Him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. If these works that I do are not of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works of my Father, though ye believe me not, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in Him. If you don't believe me, then believe the works. You going to believe Him this morning? You going to believe His mighty working power this morning? They were hard-hearted and did not. Turn with me to the 14th chapter. He says almost identically to another individual. In fact, he says to one of His apostles in this 14th chapter of John. One of His apostles, Philip. And he responds to Philip in this manner. In verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Now mind you, this is the eve on which Christ was betrayed. Just before they were going to be taking Him to crucify Him. Philip had been with Him for 3.5 years. Of His ministry, eating with Him, tarrying with Him, learning of Him, witnessing the works which He did. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, And how sayest thou, then, show us the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not only that, these words and these works or thou wast made for peace. Thou wast made for peace. In the book of Luke in chapter 19 and verse 42 there, Jesus had come to Jerusalem and overlooked Jerusalem. And verse 41 says Jesus wept over Jerusalem. In verse 42, he made this statement. He said, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. You see, the things of the gospel, the things of Jesus Christ, are the things which make for peace. But he said, as he overlooked Jerusalem and he wept over Jerusalem, he said, but you rejected him. You would not believe. Now they're hid from thine eyes. Those to whom the gospel is hid, which is in our verse 25, our text. The things of the gospel are hid from many. Our text says, Jesus said, I thank thee that they're hid from the wise and the prudent. The wise and those that understand, even though they are preached unto them, they're hid from them. They don't understand them. We know that. We've experienced that. The preaching of the gospel goes forth and the wise and the prudent, some of the most wisest men of the world and great in understanding. But they understand not the things of God. They understand not the things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. And this is what it boils down to, brothers and sisters. Verse 19 of the first chapter, 1 Corinthians. Where it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You see, the wisdom and understanding of the world is destroyed. It's nothing before God. It leads to nothing. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Listen, there are many today standing in pulpits across this land today who are supposedly preaching the Word of God, but they're not. They're wise in religion. They have great understanding in the things of religion, but they see not the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so there are many who are following them. They're wise men. They're prudent in the things of the gospel. They have great understanding in the things of religion, excuse me. But they understand not the gospel of Jesus Christ. What he's saying here. Verse 21. In fact, their foolishness.
Listen, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the truth of the gospel to the religious world today, they think it's foolishness. They don't want to hear it. Where are they? Where are they? Well, it's foolishness to them. They don't want to hear it. They want someone to tell them things that are going to make them feel good. Yeah, it's easy on their ears. It's like salve. They feel good about themselves. Well, God loves everybody. God loves you. Well, He does love His people.
But He doesn't love the sinner. My Bible tells me that He's angry with the wicked every day. every day. And he's not happy with the wicked deeds I do either. You see? So verse 21 says, "For after that in the wisdom of God." The wisdom of God. Ah, that's foolishness unto man. The wisdom of God. The world by wisdom, by their wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, to them, preaching of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is foolishness. They don't want to hear it, as we said. But now, notice those to whom the gospel is revealed. Why they're hid to the wise and prudent, yet babes. Babes in Christ have saving knowledge. In the book of Matthew chapter 18 and in verse 3, Jesus there, speaking to his disciples, he takes little children. The thought of the word there, children, is babes. Unto himself, and he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, as these babes, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Except ye become as little children, except ye become as babes, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." The difference between the two. Why is it that the wise and prudent don't see? Why is it that they don't understand these things? And babes do. Babies. What do babies know? But yet, it's revealed unto babes. It's of God. It's of God. It's hid to those wise in the things of the world and have a great understanding in the things of the world and even the things of religion. Say to them, they can't see. They lack discernment. It is God that has hid them from the wise and the prudent. He has given them much wisdom and understanding in all things, in the things of the world. He's given them much wisdom and understanding. And you know what? Most of them are proud. They're proud of it. And they take confidence in that. That's where their confidence lies in. They take great pleasure in knowing that they have all these degrees behind their name or all these titles in front of their name, whichever the case may be. But he has left them in their darkness. The crux of the matter is John chapter 3. John chapter 3. For God sent, verse 17 says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned." Notice this next statement. "But he that believeth not is condemned already." You see, one time that was me. In unbelief, I was already condemned. I was condemned because I was a sinner. And I was on my way to destruction. But praise God. He gave me belief. He gave me faith in Him. So He's already condemned.
God doesn't need to condemn me. He's condemned by virtue of the fact that he's a sinner. He's a lawbreaker. He's against God. He doesn't understand the things of God. They're foolishness to him. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He hath not. And he will not. Apart from God, you will not. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Isn't that the very thing that Jesus was testifying here in the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew? That light had come into the world, but they rejected the light. They rejected the light because they were in darkness, and they loved their evil deeds, and so they remained in darkness. And so it is today. Light has come into the world. There's light in the preaching of the gospel. If you're preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified for sinners, there's light in that, but they reject the light because they love their evil deeds and they remain in their darkness.
Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 12. John chapter 12, and look at verses 39 and 40. Verse 39, therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, or Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. He is blinding them. It is God that has revealed them unto babes. Verse 26 of our text tells us He has revealed it unto babes. He has revealed it unto those. Verse 25 tells us, He has revealed it unto those who are what? Babes. Here's what it means to be a babe. They're helpless and they're dependent on another. They're helpless and dependent on another. Do you remember the day when in the face of God, you realized yourself to be helpless and you were totally dependent on Him? Oh, I remember. I remember when my sins were so heavy upon me. And I was without help, I was without strength, and I was totally dependent upon God and what He would do for me if He'd do anything. He delivered me. He delivered me. You see, that's what it means, except you become as little children. You cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You've got to become helpless and dependent on another. That's what a babe is. Just think of babies. They're helpless and they're dependent on another for everything in life. That's where the sinner needs to come. It's God that has revealed them unto babes. 1 Corinthians, again, 1 Corinthians, and look with me at chapter 2 here. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 10. But God hath revealed unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God revealed them unto us. And just a couple of verses up from that, He said, princes and governors can know these things. Princes and governors and kings don't know these things. The foolishness to them. Go up a couple of verses from that. You see, he just continues thought from the first chapter. Their foolishness and who they're foolish to. The preaching of the cross, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness unto them. I don't understand these things, but we do. We do because the Spirit of God has revealed them unto us. The book of James in chapter 4. James in chapter 4. And verse 6 tells us that he giveth more grace. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Gives grace unto babes, unto little children. The distribution must be determined to come from the Sovereign One. Christ said so. Christ said it was from the Sovereign One, did He not? He said, even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight. Well, that's words of sovereignty. He's confessing the sovereignty of God. For so it seemed good in Thy sight. It's what You willed. You did. What You will, You do. Christ here submits to the will of the Father. Whatsoever pleases Him. Whatsoever seems good in Thy sight. You see. The way of distributing God's grace must be acknowledged by us. Just as it was by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We must thank God. We must thank God that they're revealed unto us. They're revealed unto us that we are the babes here referenced. That we are the little children. While being hid from others. And it's manifested unto us. Praise God for that. I don't understand why me. But I praise God for it. I thank Him almost daily for it. So, we not knowing who they shall be hid from or revealed to, we must publish them to the whole world. Which was our commission to do. Amen. Secondly, we must thank God that they are revealed to us babes. The simple. The meek. The babes. Those who are helpless and dependent. And God by His love, grace, caused us to see our helplessness. To see our hopelessness. No such honor that we should become the sons of God. He honored me to be a son of God. If you're here and saved this morning, He honored you to be a son of God. Praise His name. Consider this all. We must thank God that they're hid from the wise and the prudent. And the fact that they're hid from the wise and the prudent magnifies His mercy to us who have been made to see, who they have been revealed to. That magnifies His mercy in my eyes. It makes it glorious. God's mercy to me. There again, as I said, I don't understand why. Why to me? Why He chose me to be merciful to? But He did. Praise God. He said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, he said, remember and consider the things whereof you've been taught, and that from whom you have learned them. He said in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. I think God, not everybody had a godly parents that tried to raise them and teach them the things of God. I had godly parents who tried to teach me the things of God and give me a knowledge of the Scriptures, of the Word of God. Praise God that one day, at 22 and a half years of age, God made me see the truth of those Scriptures that were taught to me as a little child. Made me see what it meant to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of my soul. Well,